Blog Talk Radio.
God's gonna turn it around, turn it around, turn it around.
Live Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network, and I am so blessed to be able to welcome back from hiatus our beloved sister, hallelujah, prophetess Vanessa Carver, who's going to help us learn how to allow God to turn it around in our lives. So without further ado, please welcome back our dear sister to Wounded No More, hallelujah, Prophetess Vanessa.
Thank you, Bishop Cook. It's good to be back because there's work to be done. And I just thank God for this opportunity, and I thank God for the hiatus that I took, because it was a very sobering time. It was a time of a lot of revelation. But this show is called Wounded No More. And what I want to remind everyone, and I probably will every show that I am able to teach, too, that is just a proclamation. That does not mean that we won't be wounded again. That doesn't mean that we're not in the process. We still are in the process of this. I'll be teaching from that place where we are in process, wounded no more. And in some cases, depending on what the issue is, we are not wounded anymore. We are moving on. We're stronger. We're more resolved. We're wiser. And so that still being the case, but maybe not in every area of your life. This has been a time, I think, that my hiatus was a time where God revealed his hand and just gave me such a hunger for truth and for his word. And so these next couple of months will be really rooted in the word. And, of course, I always have believed that, but it's like that is my point and refuge. That is my reference, and that is my foundation. And so this show may not be for you where I'm just going to be reading a lot of times the word of God and let it speak for itself to your soul, to areas in your soul, to areas in your mind that only the word can do. Remember what the word can do, that it cuts coming and going, and it is swift, and it is something that cleanses us and purifies our minds. And many times the battle is in our minds when we're going through things that we need to be healed from and delivered from. And so the word is going to do the work. The word has always been, you know, God's presence and his word has always been the reason why I am healed in a lot of areas, why I am consistently able to grow and understand things. And even why God has given me a desire to be an instrument in that capacity in the body of Christ in the kingdom. And so when I thought about today's message, I was asking God for weeks what I was going to teach, you know. And all I heard, and I always ask him, and today, this morning, he said healing. That's all he said. So basically he's saying, you know, giving me a blank check. I can teach a lot of different things about healing, you know, you name it. I wasn't necessarily excited about the fact that he gave me a blank check, carte blanche, so to speak. I was heavy about it, if truthfully, to be told, because I said, Lord, well, you know what your people need. So I don't. So that's why I asked, like, Lord, why would you just tell me healing? I mean, that's what the show's about. But he said, let's start with the word. So I am going to be in the book of John. And I'm going to, and please follow along with me and be encouraged to read later and study later and rightfully divide the word to implement what is what's going to be said, whatever is going to touch your spirit tonight, whatever the Holy Spirit highlights and you know, and invite him in right now as we read the word. I definitely know that before I even start that I say, Lord, you speak through me. But it's not just for the people that are listening. It's for me, too. And so sometimes I get a little selfish about what I get from teaching because I'm like, ooh, that was so good. I'm going to be chewing on that for a while. And so I just want to encourage you to make this your own. Whatever you hear, don't think about your neighbor. Don't think about your relatives or loved ones. Oh, that could be for them. It's probably going to be for you first. And so I just want you to specifically listen to what God is saying to you based on what I'm going to present tonight. I'm going to be basically in the book of John, and we're going to go over, I think, about five different passages, and then I also will reference Hebrews 4, one passage there. We're going to start in John 4, and I love reading John 4, verses 46 to 53. We all have our favorite versions. I have several different versions that I read out of from time, and I study from time to time. And today it'll be the Amplified. And as many people that know me know that I love the Amplified Bible, but I've also recently fallen in love with the Complete Jewish Bible too as well. There'll be other times that I'll be reading from that. But something else I want to say. You know, it tells us how we have to study the word to be workmen. So forget that scripture. That scripture has been in my spirit so strong for the last couple of days. Study to show thyself workmen. I'll find it. I basically will be quoting that at the end of the program. We have to study We have to read the word, study the word, read the word, rightfully divide it, and live it. So those things, those are elements that you have to be thinking about when we're reading this word. And just let the word do the work. Let it speak to you. Know that you read it. You might go back and read it in a different version. You might be taking notes. Why am I hitting this issue so hard? Because I really want you to make this your own. I feel like every time we read the word and study the word, that God will give us the application if that's what we believe we will get. You know, so it's, and we have to believe that it's God breathed. So Jesus came again to Canaan of Galilee. This is his second miracle that performed. Remember how he turned water into wine? Well, he had just left that miracle, so he came to Cana of Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son was lying ill in Capernaum. Having heard that Jesus had come back from Judea into Galilee, he went away to meet him, and he began to beg him to come down and cure his son, for he was lying at the point of death. Jesus said to him, so the thing that I want everybody to, one of the ways that helps me study the word is, of course, you know, how if you don't have a red letter Bible, you know, I bet you everybody does, but the red letter Bible just helps me pay attention to what Jesus said, what he did, what he didn't do. I mean, just remember that let whatever he does in this scriptures or in the scriptures I'm going to read where it says, and Jesus said, comma, pause, let's pause. What did Jesus say? He addressed the audience. He said, unless you see signs and miracles happen, you people will never believe, trust at all. He said to them, he addressed the crowd that was following him. Unless you see signs, miracles happen, you never will believe. So he realized there were people that were carnal, that were following him. They wanted an adventure. They wanted, they were hungry for the supernatural. Isn't that the case today? I just want to know that God's real. I want to see something. I want to, and if I don't see something, I'm going to make something happen because I need that. And that's, he addressed that. There's a reason why he addressed that. Anything that I feel like is written about, we should pay attention to. So we'll go back to that. That's verse 48. Jesus said, unless you see signs and miracles happen, you people will never believe. He was just addressing where they were. The king's officer pleaded with him again and said, sir, do come at once before my little child is dead. But Jesus answered him, comma, and every time I see a comma, I have to pause. I pause internally and I pause when I read it. Jesus answered him, your son will live. And the man put his trust in what Jesus said and started home. And the man put his trust in what Jesus said and started home. That was it. That's it. That's all. Jesus said he would be healed. He lives. Okay. He started home. He trusted what Jesus said. But even as he was on the road going down, his servants, this is how quick this happened, his servants met the official and reported saying, your son lives. And he asked them, the official asked them, like, what time did he begin to get better? And they said, yesterday, during the seventh hour, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the fever left him, and he began to get better. And then the father knew. Then the father knew that it was at that very hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live, and he and his entire household believed. The father knew that Jesus' words carried weight at that time, but he trusted him too. Remember verse 50, when it says Jesus answered him, go in peace, your son will live. And the man just put his trust in what Jesus said and started home. That was it. I think we have to remember, I picked this scripture because I believe that there's a couple of things in here. Things that Jesus said about them, you know, following after signs and wonders, that just lets you know where people are in their maturity spiritually. They're looking for an adventure. They're looking for something to prove that this is real. They're looking for a sign all the time, and that's why they followed him. They were looking for a show, and he addressed that spirit. But then he began to tell the man, you know, go in peace. Like, you don't have to worry anymore. Your son will live. And that man put his trust in him. And it's interesting how Jesus, first of all, said, go in peace. He knew that, of course, when we deal with sicknesses or when we deal with our mortality or even of our loved ones, that there is no rest for our souls. There are places where we are under great amounts of stress and pressure. There's no peace. There's no peace. But see, when Jesus began to say, your son will live, go in peace, your son will live. Peace came first, and then he said, your son will live. I believe that man was able to trust him because God gave him peace first, and then he gave him his word. See, I'm saying this because I believe that a lot of times God will say one word, one sentence to us. We may be praying, fasting about different things, and he will say, it is well. Or he'll say, I need you to trust me. I need you to believe. I have you. Whatever God says to you, it's not a long paragraph or dissertation about what he will do. His authority, go in peace, your son will live. Be still and know that I am God. How many of us have heard that when we bring things to the Lord? Be still, which is peace. Be still and know me. I'm God. So go in peace, your son will live. He put his trust in there. I'm just trying to get everybody to, how many times have I read this since I started this? Those three, when Jesus said, you know, he addressed the carnal, and then he began to talk to the official and told him his son was alive, and then he the man believed and trusted, and his servants told him your son was healed, and then he knew. It was like his trust was reinforced. He knew that what Jesus said had power, so his whole household was saved and believed. Isn't that powerful? One thing that God showed me about a year ago, he said, if you heal one man, you heal a family. He said, if you heal a family, you heal a community. If you heal a community, you can heal a nation. And it's interesting how his son was healed and his whole house was healed. And then that whole, everybody was a testimony. So I say all that to say this applies to all of us. It's like when we come to him, and this man was following Jesus and came to him and said, please heal my son. He asked him twice to heal him. So he was insistent. Don't give up on praying, but also know that God does not have to give you long, drawn-out answers to what he says. He simply says, be healed. Your son is alive. Go in peace. Be in peace. A lot of times God will just give us peace because he needs us to believe him, because until we have peace, we don't believe. We vacillate back and forth. We waver. And so he says, I need you to be at peace. Trust me and believe. You know, and then he might address your issue. So go back and read that and see what you can pull out of it about healing. That's what I was able to pull out of it, was verse 48, verse 50. Anything that Jesus said, anything when he answered the man, those are the things that I meditate on. I meditate on what Jesus said and what Jesus did. And especially what he said. So that's really important to do that, only because he hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. How many of us can say that there have been many times when he would give us those word answers, those prayers that answering our prayer in one sentence? And for some of us, that's frustrating, but it holds weight. Whatever he says holds weight. And so we have to remember that. It hasn't changed. So I did want to read that. I'm going to go on to chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. I'm still reading from the Amplified. And I hope, 1 through 15. This one is about the Pool of Bethesda. Many of us are familiar with this script. Okay, I'm going to read it out loud again. Later on, there was a Jewish feast for which Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem a pool near the Sheep Gate. This pool in the Hebrew is called Bethesda. It has five porches. That's what it means. or doorways or alcoves. In these lay a great number of sick people. I want you to get this image that there was a place, I guess you could say it was an open hospital. There were all these sick people who were just laying out, and they were waiting to be healed. They were waiting for the water to bubble up, for the water. And so, for an angel of the Lord went down at appointed seasons into the pool, moved and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of water, stepped in was cured of whatever disease with which he was afflicted. Okay, 5. There was a certain man who had suffered with a deep, this is how the Amplified says it, he had a deep-seated and lingering disorder for 38 years. Deep-seated and lingering disorder for 38 years. Jesus noticed him lying there, and he was helpless, knowing that he had already been a long time in that condition. Now, remember, anything that Jesus says or Jesus does, I always emphasize, and I might read it more than once. Jesus noticed him lying there, knowing what he had already been a long time in that condition. He said to him, "Do you want to become well? Do you want to become well?" I say that to you. I say that to myself. Do you want to become? Jesus said this to this man. He had this issue for a long time. Are you really in earnest about getting well? So for some of us, we got to say, that's a good question. And some of us, of course, of course. Why would I be, well, if I wasn't seeking, you know, to be well, why would I be, you know, doing this or doing that? But I think there's a reason why he asked him that, because this man had been sick for 38 years. There was a certain man who had suffered with a deep-seated and lingering disorder. So the man answered and said, "Sir, I have nobody when the water is moving to put me into the pool. But while I'm trying to come into it myself, somebody else steps down ahead of me." So he's telling them, you know, why he's still been sick for all these years. And Jesus said to him, he didn't address his issues or why he thought, you know, his mindset or his mentality. He said, "Get up and pick up your bed and walk." So these were commands, because they have exclamation points behind them. They are commands. They're not rhetorical. He did ask him, "Do you really want to be well? Do you really want to be sick?" And then the man said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, pick up your bed and walk." Instantly, the man became well, recovered his strength. Remember, he was helpless. He recovered his strength, picked up his bed, and walked. And that happened on the Sabbath. That happened on the Sabbath, so that was problematic in some ways. So the Jews, they kept saying to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and you have no right to pick up your bed. It's not lawful." Like, you can't get well. Now, here we have a man that's been sick for 38 years, and they're telling him this is not a good day for you to be whole. We can apply that to so many different things, can't we? This is not a good day for that. As a matter of fact, you're breaking the law. He answered all of them, "The man who had healed me," he's talking about Jesus, "gave me back my strength." He gave me back my strength. He himself said to me to pick up my bed and walk. So he gave me strength to decide to pick up my bed and walk. And he addressed me and said, "Do you, you know, would you be healed with this lingering issue that you've had, debilitating sickness?" And they asked him, "Who is the man who told you to pick up your bed and walk?" And so the man said he didn't really know who he was. He did not know who he was. Therefore, Jesus had kind of like crept away, since there was a crowd in the place. And afterward, when Jesus found him, because Jesus came back to find him to see how he was doing, he said to him, "See, you are well. Now stop sinning, or something else may come upon you." And the man went away, and he told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Okay. The thing that sticks out to me is a couple of things. I mean, I can read this over and over again, and I'm going to get something different. But what I got out of it, "Do you want to be healed?" Anything that Jesus said, I try to highlight and linger on it. When Jesus noticed him lying there helpless, this man was helpless. He gave him his strength first. But he addressed him. Do you want to get well? He already discerned from observing him that this man had been sick for 38 years. He had suffered for 38 years with a lingering disorder. And keep in mind, in verse 14, he finds him and says, yeah, you're well. You're still well. That's awesome. Now stop sinning or something worse will happen to you. We don't know what the sin is. At least I can't tell from my references and from my commentary what it could have been. It could have been many things. But I'm going to tell you what popped up in my mind when I read about this invalid, how he had been sick for 38 years. I thought of alcoholics. I thought of people that suffer from alcoholism. I don't know why that came up in my mind, but when I think of people that suffer with a deep-seated and lingering disorder, I think of alcoholism. Now, whatever God is speaking to you about that, or if he is at all, he can heal us from anything, but we have to decide, do we want to be well, or are we so stuck and so weak from doing what we thought we could do in our own strength that we don't even stop to think that it's possible anymore? This man had dealt with this for 38 years. He was helpless. Now, many of us go and think, okay, he was helpless. He couldn't walk, right? Because Jesus did. I think that in some cases we can apply that to people being mentally not able. They don't have the capacity to believe that they can be healed. They've always dealt with depression. They've always dealt with alcoholism their way. They don't even believe that they can ever be healed. Jesus addresses that and says immediately, take up your bed and walk. Instantly, he became well and recovered his strength and picked up his bed and walked. Do we believe God or not? I think that that question also points to our belief system. Do you really want to be well? I mean, do you believe it's possible? Do you think you always have to go around with the same wounds you've had? You're getting up there, you've been dealing with something, maybe not 38 years, but maybe it's been 3 months too long, it's been 8 months too long, 3 years too long, you've been dealing with it forever and it's taken all your strength, and you're starting to believe that this, you know, that this will always be something you deal with. You even use the scriptures to justify by saying this is your thorn in the side. Be careful. Be careful. Jesus showed up, and he's showing up in our lives every day in some capacity. We just need to open up our eyes and have better, greater expectations about who he is and who we are. Greater is he within us than he that's in the world. Why can't we be healed from things that maybe our parents suffered from, or our grandparents, or our children are suffering from because of the things we did or didn't do right? And so that goes back to him sinning. Like he said, you know, stay well, stop sinning, or something worse is going to come on you. That doesn't mean live paranoid. Be accountable for the things that you do that you can control. So don't go around, you know, I think it's important when people get healed and God restores them, especially in the body of Christ, that we don't go around repeating and practicing our wounds and the story behind them. Sure, our mess is our ministry. Sure, we can help somebody, but everybody's situation is different. And the thing that gives glory to God is saying that, you know, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be healed. If it wasn't for God showing me what I could be and who I really am, I would have never came out of that mindset or that addiction or whatever it is. And I think that this is speaking to so many different issues still see today, especially in this era of COVID and different things with racial disharmony and injustices that we see, you name it, is there. So the sicknesses doesn't always mean things that were physically that we could see, where somebody, you know, has is lame or somebody has some physical ailment. But I believe it's also about mental issues too. And I do believe those things are had. But Jesus healed him, and then he later found him later and gave him a warning. Stop sinning. So I believe maybe we're not necessarily saying that, you know, I left a certain lifestyle, or I stopped drinking, or I stopped, you know, taking drugs, or I stopped doing this and that. That's good. That's great. At the same time, I believe when we are walking in places of unbelief, that's sin too. When we are judging people, or when, I mean, sin is just a place where we are falling short. It has to do with the mindset. So let that simmer a little bit and begin to think, you know, maybe the reason why I'm sick is because there's things in my life that I allowed to be there. I'm not addressing them. I gave up a long time ago, or I won't forgive, or I have things in my heart that I'm not letting God touch, or I'm just like, I'll just die this way, shriveled up, you know, believing that there I can be healed and it's available for me now, every day, that God will give me the strength to get up. Sometimes it's just, especially when people are dealing with debilitating depression that actually does affect their body. They don't know how to move forward. They've been in that muck and mire so long, they don't know how to get up. So I immediately began to think of that when I read about this man who had had this long, deep-seated and lingering disorder. But do you remember how Jesus just came swifting through and just took care of him? And then kind of creeped away, and then came back later to see how he is. God cares about how you're doing. Once you started to heal, once you started to subject yourself to a new process, new friends, new lifestyle, because you're leaving old and walking in the new, he's going to come and see about you. I love that in this part where he comes and sees about him and he warns him. Look, don't start sinning no more. You know, are you being restored? Don't go back to that lifestyle or whatever got you in that place in the first place, in the beginning. And let the scriptures just speak to you tonight based on what this man and how Jesus interacted with him. I think it's really, really powerful. So I'm just going to let that sit there. and I'm going to go to chapter 9. This is still in the book of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Excuse me. I'm still reading in the Amplified. All right. When I was preparing for this lesson, you know, I just believe let the word do the work. Let it speak to you. Let it make it personal tonight. Just period. Just make it personal. It'll linger. You'll be able to meditate, and it will help you. It is medicine. Now, this has to do with Jesus healing the man that was born blind. As he passed along, he noticed a man blind from his birth. He noticed this man. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, that means teacher, who sinned? Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? And so Jesus answered, it was not that this man or his parents sinned. They didn't sin. But he was born blind in order that the workings of God should be manifested in him. We must work the works of him who sent me and be busy with his business while it's daylight. Night is coming on when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the world's light. I'm the world's light. This is Jesus speaking. And so when he said this, he spat on the ground and made clay into mud with his saliva, and he spread it as ointment on the man's eyes. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Okay. What I got from this is sin. Once again, just like the previous passage, sin is addressed. And Jesus corrected them and said, nobody sinned. He was born blind so that the workings of God should be manifest and displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me, and be busy with his business while it's daylight. Night is coming when no man can work. So in verse 4, it's like we don't always know how God's going to use in our healing and in our process. We don't know what that's going to look like. We don't know what the purpose is, but I think if we just know that it's part of the work to bring glory to God, that it's not just one-dimensionally saying somebody did something wrong, and that's probably why that came upon them. You know, when you think about, let's talk about the homeless issue a little bit. And we think about people on the street. Some people are there because of their circumstances. Some people are there because, oh, God, the situations vary so much depending on who you're talking to. Some people are there because they want to be there. They want, quote, unquote, some freedom. They don't want to be told what to do, when to do it, how to go, where to go. And so there's a level of rebellion that you might see in the streets. Some people are made a lot of mistakes, made a lot of wrong choices. That's why they're on the streets. Some people have addiction. Some people have mental problems. At the end of the day, if they have an encounter with the Lord, if they have an encounter with one of his servants, and they're struggling with addiction or they're struggling with homelessness or just oppression for whatever reason, God can use that to bring glory to him and to be a witness to other people that he's still the light. We are the light. We are the salt, and we are the light. And we're cities on a hill. And so he says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the world's light. We have to believe that we are lights as well. And so when we encounter things that are just not, they just look one way, they just look off, and we get judgmental, or we just think we know. We have to stop and think, okay, how can God get glory in this? You know, or is this something that God can get glory in? You know, usually it is if God has brought it to our attention, or if we're in a place where we're serving, he can get the glory. So let's not just look at things about, be so fixated on sin nature and sin consciousness and judging and blaming and pointing a finger. Let's see how God can get the glory in this. As long as he's in the world, we're light. So we have to say, you know, this might sound cliche, but what would Jesus do, you know, in this situation? How can Jesus make a difference in this situation? You know, how can God heal in this situation? How can God get the glory in this situation? In your life, or whether you're being used to minister to someone based on this. No matter what the situation is, let's have more than one-dimensional assessments of what we're looking at. It could be a great opportunity for God to be glorified and for you to believe and trust God in a bigger way than you have before. So that's what I get from this scripture. We must work the works of him. Like, you know, he's like, okay, nobody sinned. Let's get back to work, you know. As long as I'm here, I'm light. So I got to do what I'm supposed to do. So he began to heal the man, and the man saw, and he went on about his business. That's what I get from that scripture. Let's be about the business. Let's not focus on the sin. Let's not focus on the circumstance. Why are we here? Lord, it's an opener. Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? Do I use my, you know, don't just assess it in one way. Verses 11, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to chapter 11 now in John. Once again, chapter 11, verses 32 through 44. Okay, all right. 32 through 44. Verses 11. This is about when Lazarus died, and this is going. This chapter is about Lazarus dying, but I also feel like it's about goes back to Hebrews 4:15 about we have a high priest who understands our infirmity. I'm going to read that a little bit further too. Okay, so it starts at verse 32. Mary, when Mary came to the place where Jesus was and saw him, she dropped down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Once again, when Jesus saw, let's stop, when Jesus saw her sobbing, and he and the Jews who came with her also sobbing, he was moved in spirit and troubled. He was moved and troubled. He chafed in spirit and sighed and was disturbed. So he was hurt. He was hurt. And when he said, Jesus said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And he cried. Jesus wept. This is that chapter. Jesus wept, cried. The Jews said how tenderly he loved him. They could see that he really loved Lazarus. But some of them said, because you always got the naysayers, could not he who opened a blind man's eyes have prevented this man from dying? We will always have those skeptics with us, won't we? Those people who just don't see how, they just see another side. And now Jesus, again, sighing repeatedly and deeply disquieted. He was still hurt. He was still mourning. He approached the tomb. He was still hurt. It was a cave, a hole in the rock, and a boulder lay against the entrance to close it. Jesus said, take away the stone, Martha, the sister of the dead man exclaimed. But, Lord, by this time he is decaying and throws off an offensive odor, for he has been dead for days, 4 days. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you and promise you that if you would believe and rely on me, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, so he's praying to God. He said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. So he prayed and he knew he was heard. And yes, I know you always hear and you listen to me, but I have said this on account of and for the benefit of the people standing around. So he was doing this so the people could be encouraged to know that when you pray and believe, you're heard and God will answer you. And so that they may believe that you did send me, right? That you have made me your messenger. When he had said this, he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And out walked the man who had been dead. His hands and feet were wrapped in burial cloths. He was bound. And he told the people to free him of the burial wrappings and let him go. Now, I'm going to read Hebrews because I think we need to understand as people, as humans, as earthen vessels, we go through things, but we have a high priest who understands our infirmities and our weaknesses. And in this scripture, it shows Jesus definitely knew and understood. He wept and he was mournful and he was hurt and he sobbed, he wept. So I'm going to read Hebrews 14 through 16. Okay? For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand. He does understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. So we need to fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. We need to know who is ultimately our healer. We need to know that he understands our weaknesses. He understands, just like we were reading about the man who had been sick 38 years and he had a lingering disease and he knew all that. But then he prayed, but he prayed with confidence knowing that not only was he heard, he was listened to and understood that there was a relationship there that enabled him to pray before he began to ask for Lazarus to be risen. And so we need to understand that. Let's see. So we have to understand, find out where he understands us, whether we speak it or not. There's a lot in this passage, actually. When Jesus saw her sobbing, you know, he began to sob too. So Have you ever been in a place where you prayed and you had no words? All there was groaning and moaning, and there were tears. I immediately would feel the presence of God just wrap itself around me.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, he was trying to give me peace. Remember, we go back to the passages that talked about how he gave him peace and then he answered his prayer. So God is always in places where, in our woundedness or in our place where we need some healing and some deliverance, he understands. That's why it tells us to cast our cares. And in this passage, what I found that was profound is even though he was hurting, he went to serve anyway. He went to serve. He still had to go forward. Let's not shut down. Let's be real about who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. He still was able to go forth, and he said, this is so that God can get the glory. You know, I had to pray in front of y'all so that y'all would understand that this is what you do. This is what you do. It wasn't just to, you know, for a show, which some people, going back to what we read, some people were following him because it was a show. They wanted some. They wanted to see what miracles and signs were going to jump off. And he addressed that mentality, but it didn't keep him from doing what he was supposed to be doing. You know, the first show that we did last year, Bishop called it walking wounded, because many times I think that walking is indicative of the serving aspect. We're still walking. We're still doing what God told us to do, but we're wounded. And wounded no more is just about places of maturity, revelation, but also knowing that this today's show is don't ever forget that this is more than just about you. It's about who he is. It's about somebody else. It's about the impact that we make when we decide that we will be healed, we will believe the word, how we pray, how we address things in the physical, or do we see through his eyes or do we see through our own eyes and then we make judgments like they did. They said somebody's sin, so that's what, you know. But nevertheless, let's have his mind. Whatever you got out of the scriptures that I shared with you tonight is for you first. Whatever God may say, I need you to chew on this scripture, chew on this passage, it's for you first. And even after I studied this and read it, technically I feel like I need to go back to some things again and circle some more things and just sit in that and hear what else God has to say. Because it will continue to minister to you wherever you are tonight. So just remember, it starts with the word. Let the word do the work. Meditate on it. But like I said, read it, study it, rightfully divide it, and do it.
Amen.
That's the show. And if anything else, any other scriptures that God has spoken to you about based on what you heard tonight, study that too. Study, read it, apply it. Ask questions to him. Maybe it will also empower you to know how to pray in a way that you haven't before.
Amen.
Or to believe in a way that you haven't before. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, now comes, there are a few moments left. So if any of you that are sitting in the studio or in the chat room, you would like to ask Prophetess Vanessa a question or put your praise on it or touch and agree, now is the time. I will address you. If you would kindly press your 1 on your keypad, that will alert me that you want to put your praise on it. And I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. Hallelujah. I just want to say while I scroll and look, Prophetess Vanessa, I'm so glad that you're back. And this was a phenomenal lesson because, you know, and I love the examples that you use, because we need to know and understand that any time that we encounter Christ, we've encountered grace. And
that's right.
All Christ wants us to do is come to a place of worship. So, and that's what he was after in all those situations. You know, like Prophetess said, it wasn't just to put on a show. It was so that he could increase their faith. Look at the nobleman. He was a nobleman. he was used to saying, you know, saying a word and getting things done. He had the best of everything, you know, but this nobleman had tried everything he knew how to do to heal his son. And yet his son, mm-hmm. whom he loved, lay dying. And, you know, it's like Sis said, Jesus, this was a time when Jesus had been going around and he was visiting many festivals and he was, you know, performing, had began to perform miracles. So the word had got out. So, you know, this man humbled himself. Here's this nobleman. He humbled himself and he went to the Lord and he, Lord Jesus, in front of all these crowds of people. And asked him, please, he begged him, please. But I want you to know something. When we don't know what to do, how to do, when we stop relying on self, like Prophetess says, God is saying, perfect. This is exactly where I need you to be in order for me to heal you, to restore you, to build you up in the way that you need to be built up. So that your faith will be increased. And, you know, I just praise God for the many examples that you use through John. We just have to want to be healed. And once mm-hmm. God heals us, we can't go back there. God delivers mm-hmm. a lot of us from a lot of things. But you know what? We will turn around and go right back. We're just like the Israelites. God will deliver us, and because he didn't deliver us the way we wanted to be delivered, or he didn't heal us, you know, the way we thought we should have been healed, you know, we start murmuring and complaining, and we want to go back. But when Jesus commanded that lame man to pick up his bed and pick up his bedroll and walk, he was saying, you're not going to need this anymore. Don't come back here. Because
right.
my healing is complete. It's complete. So I just praise God for knowing that when he heals us, he heals us, you know, he heals us thoroughly. He, you know, he doesn't leave any scars. You know, he, if we would only submit it all to him, give it over to him, humble ourselves, you know, and allow him to minister to us, you know, instead of us going up there wanting him to co-sign what we believe.
Right.
And then we got to go tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord, what he's done in our lives, how he healed us. We have people in the body of Christ, oh, yes, the Lord delivered me. I'm healed. Hallelujah. And that's where they stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to be transparent enough to say, you know what? The Lord, I stayed up. I threw myself on the threshing floor. I had to take myself back to the potter's wheel. I had to let God do that work. Yeah, I cried. Yeah, I had to read his word. Yes, I had to pray according to his word. You know, we need to allow people to understand the process.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lord doesn't put Band-Aids on. He heals.
That's right.
So I just want to thank you, Prophetess Vanessa. I didn't see any ones, and that's because you know, your prayer was answered. You let the word do the work, mm-hmm. and you presented it also, you know, phenomenally as usual. So I'm so blessed by God to have you back, and I'm looking forward to what God is going to do through you for the rest of the year. And I just want to thank everybody. We want to thank everyone for listening. We are glad that you're here. Continue to follow us here at the Spirit Alive Network. And as Prophetess Vanessa said, it is our prayer that you just let the word meditate in you richly. Just let it marinate. Just, you know, suck it up, savor it, so that it will give you strength in these hard times. So we just praise God, and we just pray that you continue to not acknowledge him in all that you do. And from my house to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you. Awesome job, Prophetess. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Amen. Good night.
All right. God bless.